want to thank the preacher for letting me have the pulpit this morning and two services. Real exciting to be able to do this. 8:30 in the morning. I'm ready to go. I don't know what their problem is. Let's go. Let's go. Come on. Let's do this. But I do agree that when it comes to singing, it's a little more of a challenge. You know, I think my voice will be loosened up a little better by 10:30. But boy, what a time we had yesterday. And I loved everything about it, everything about it. We're going to do our very first one this year, so I really came out here just to take notes, steal ideas, and figure out how to actually have one. And so now I feel like I'm better equipped, you know. But I walked into that large room, and I thought, boy, and then watch people come in and just, you know, sit down and enjoy each other's company and fellowship and talk and be able to go around and mingle with the folks. But for a pastor, what I loved to watch was the army of people from this church that, you know, as a pastor, you notice those things because we put on enough of these things that we know we can't do it without a church just getting behind it and serving. And then, you know, I thought, what in the world did this cost? And many people that maybe physically couldn't be a part of pulling it off still sacrificially gave to see that it happened. And anyway, great job, wonderful. And I just had such a good time yesterday at that banquet. I'm going to preach this morning out of Psalms 23, and of course I won't preach the entire psalm. I'm just going to give you three main thoughts, but boy, this was my thought as I look back over the last year. I'm going to name the sermon this: it sure is good to have a shepherd. That's what I felt over the last year. It has been so good to have a shepherd. You know, we had to go through what we had to go through, and we're still kind of going through it. But, you know, the difference between a Christian that's faced with a crisis situation and somebody that's unsaved is the fact that, you know what, we have a shepherd. We have someone to get us through it, lead us through it, watch over us. And I guess I've leaned heavily on the Psalms in the last year. I probably have preached more out of the Psalms in the last 12 months than I had in the previous 12 years before, because it's where I was fleeing to for help and encouragement during some tough days. You know the psalm, but I'll read it out loud, and we'll then pray and ask God to teach us some things or remind us of some things this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, I need your help this morning. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, thank you for the impact it's had in our lives. I think a place of heightened importance in the last year. Lord, thank you for being that strong tower. Thank you for being that refuge. Lord, thank you for sustaining us and helping us, Lord. And I pray, dear God, as we look at this shepherd's psalm this morning, that you'll encourage your people, dear God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when David wrote about the subject of a shepherd, he knew what he was talking about. We read in the Bible, of course, back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when God had to refuse Saul as king and turned to anoint David as the next king of Israel. When he showed up and was directed by God to go to the house of Jesse, and all of the brothers walked by, and he said, none of these, it's none of these. You know what? The Samuel asked a question. He said, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, here's the little phrase, he keepeth the sheep. He keepeth the sheep. And then the most famous story about David in all of the Bible is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And several times in that chapter where David faces Goliath, we see that it refers back to the idea of him being a shepherd. In the verse 13 through 15, the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of these three sons that went to battle were Eliab the firstborn, Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul, here it is, to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Down in verse 20, the Bible says, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And then Eliab got mad at David, you know, because he was pointing out their cowardice and asking a hard question. Is there not a cause? You know, Eliab, in verse 28, 29, his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And so we know that the Bible establishes one thing. David was a shepherd. David understood what it was to be a shepherd. When he went to Saul and volunteered to face Goliath, and Saul began to question him as far as his ability to face a giant. You know, David said this. This is how he answered Saul. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And David said to, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, I like this, kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Preacher, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying this. When David wrote about the Lord being his shepherd, he knew what he was talking about. You see, David's hand had held the shepherd's staff. His feet had walked the green pastures high in the hills above Bethlehem. His voice, David's voice, had sung to his sheep in the storm. His body had lay across the sheepfold entrance as a human door to keep the sheep in and to keep the predators out. David's ears were tuned to the bleating of the sheep, you know, to the point where he could recognize each one. Think about this. Could interpret the nuance of the sounds they made. Could distinguish between a cry of fear and one of hunger. A cry of hurt or a cry just for attention. His mouth called each one by name. His rod was held ready to defend them. His sling and his stones ever present and practiced and always ready to protect and chase away the enemy. David's strong arms tore the bear that threatened his flock. His strong hands fought the lion that would try to snatch one of the lambs. His eyes watched over each sheep, seeing their needs, evaluating the dangers. Listen, while the sheep slept, he stood guard. While they drank at the still waters, he was ever watchful. While they lay down in the green pastures, he circled the perimeter. His staff herded them toward safe paths and pulled them from the cliff's edge. Suffice to say that when David penned the shepherd's psalm, he knew what he was talking about. David knew what it was to watch over the sheep. He knew what it was to lead the sheep. He knew what it was to provide for the sheep. And he knew what it was to defend the sheep. So as we read this psalm, this one-time shepherd, God uses him to write these inspired words. He was a one-time shepherd, but that was all in preparation for him being a full-time king of a nation. And now he's going to comfort his people by writing this psalm. And I want to point out just three things this morning about this psalm. And again, man, great messages have been preached, and folks have preached series of messages out of this, and here I'm just going to dive in and just give you three truths. Number one, it is good to have the Lord as my shepherd. I want to start by saying that. Point number one, it is good to have the Lord as my shepherd. You know, this psalm opens by saying this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what? I thought about David being a shepherd, and yet he was so happy to have a shepherd. And preacher, I just talked to you for a minute, because I don't know what you felt in the last year, but I was glad as an under-shepherd that I had a shepherd to guide me during this thing. I mean, to be very transparent and honest with all of you, there were times when I set my office because, you know, usually if you're going through something, you think, well, I'll call some older preacher. I'll call this guy that knows what he's doing. This guy. Oh, I know a preacher that went through this. We're all calling each other and nobody knows anything, you know, and we're facing so many things for the first time. I mean, I can really point back to a day in the middle of all of this when it was, you know, coming out and there was so much different information and conflicting things. And I remember sitting at my desk in my office on a Tuesday and putting my face in my hands and bowing my head and say, Lord, I don't know how to be a pastor anymore. You know? But you know what? I still had a shepherd. And I needed a shepherd. Even though David was a shepherd, he realized he still needed a shepherd. Now, folks, listen to me. Having Jesus as your shepherd, that's a personal choice. David said this, the Lord is my shepherd. You know why he said that? Because he chose to allow God to be his shepherd. You know what? Before you can allow God to be your shepherd, Christ to be your shepherd, you know what? You have to become a sheep. I mean, it starts out with a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus spoke a parable about that judgment seat where he separates the sheep from the goats. And you know what? There's a big difference. Come on, if any of you are country people and you've ever had goats or you've ever had sheep, they may look like they come from the same species, same general family, but there's a big difference between a sheep and a goat. And you know what? I want to say this. I made the decision in my life to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know what? I can make it for me and I can't make it for any other person. You can make it for you and you can't make it for any other person. There's times I wish I could decide for other people. There's been times I've stood at a door and shared the gospel with somebody and I've watched God move in their life and I see conviction in their life and I see them struggling between do I accept Christ, do I not? And I wish I could just at that point step in and decide for them. But you know what? That's not how God designed it. Each and every one of us have to, first of all, decide to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. I share my testimony a lot. You know what? I think one of the greatest things you can do is just learn to share your salvation testimony. And you know what? We all got saved the same way biblically, but you know what? All of our stories is a little different on how we were brought to salvation. All of the events that came to pass to bring us to that point, that time. And I'm so glad that, you know what, God sought us out. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Not just to save. He's willing to be the seeker. He's willing to be it. I mean, it's like we've been, you know, I take you back to Adam and Eve. And you know what, they started the first game of hide and seek in the Garden of Eden. And here when they got into sin, they're hiding from God. And you know what? Listen, people say, well, I sought God. You know, you better read Romans chapter 3. None of us sought God. God sought us. And you know what? Jesus said, I'll be it. I'll not only come to save them, I'll come to seek them. I'm thankful that God sent the Spirit of God to chase us down. And you know what? I think of all of the Christians that had influence in my mom and dad's life before they came to Christ and people that would witness to my dad and next door neighbor that invited him to church and all the events that led up to us finally walking into the door of a church as a family for the first time. I remember the preaching of the Bible. Thank God for the preaching of the Bible. My dad attended just an old-fashioned revival meeting. Don't underestimate the importance of old-fashioned revival meetings. And you know what? He came because a neighbor had invited him. My dad was lost. My mom was lost. I was just a little guy. But you know what? We started going to church and we went to revival. My dad went Monday, and he went Tuesday, and he went Wednesday, and he went Thursday, and God worked on him more and more every night. He left the church Thursday, didn't go forward, under conviction. He told later on, he said, I prayed on the way home, God, if you'll let me live to get to church tomorrow night, I'll walk forward and get saved. Last night of revival meeting, last invitation of the revival meeting, they sang the first note. My dad dropped his songbook on the pew and walked up and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And folks, listen to me, in that little country church, mom and dad just kept us sitting there. And thank God for Sunday school teachers. Those of you that work with young people, thank God for you. Thank God for children's church workers and primary workers. Thank God for nursery workers. Hallelujah. You say, well, they can't understand a whole lot. Just hold them and rock them and sing, Jesus loves you, this I know. For Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let them hear the name of Jesus in the nursery. Just let them hear about the Lord and His wonderful plan of salvation, because God still works in the heart of children. And I remember that time when God began to work on me. And you know, when you're as a child or even as an adult, if you haven't had much church background, you send them the preaching of the Bible. And I mentioned yesterday, you know, it's almost like you hear this truth, and that's one piece of the puzzle. And you hear this truth, and you hear this truth, and you hear this truth. But it's a wonderful thing when God takes all of the ingredients of the plan of salvation, and all of a sudden it comes together in your heart and your mind, and you realize, that's for me. God did that for me. Jesus died for me. And I remember that moment as a child, where it's like the blinders fell off and God let, the Bible talks about the light of the glorious gospel shining through, in that moment where it's like, that I know why He died. I know why He did that now. It was for my sins, you know. And then to be able to come to Jesus Christ. But you know what? That's a decision. I can't make it for anyone else. You can't make it for anyone else. Let me ask you a question. Have you made that decision in your life? I like to say this, every once in a while it's good to just have a moment where we stop in this moment of time, this moment right here of time, and just look back on the timeline of your life from this point here all the way back, as far back as you can remember. Can you go up and down that timeline, and can you find that time, that moment where, you know what, God's Spirit convicted you of sin, and you know what, you felt the drawing of the Father. I remember that. I remember, you know, Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. And so, you know what, when somebody's, I love to say that, when somebody is, when God is trying to bring somebody to Himself, you realize that all three members of the Trinity, God's entire focus and attention is on that person in that moment. Here the Holy Spirit is working to bring conviction of sin. Here's the Father drawing them. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for Him and what He did, there would be no way to be saved. And I thought, here, God cared enough about a little six-year-old boy at the Rock Run Baptist Church to focus all the energies of the Godhead into my life and give me an opportunity. But folks, I still had to choose. I still had to choose Christ. And I hope that you can look back and find that day in your life. It's good to have a shepherd. It's been good to have a shepherd. I have somebody to go to in a time of need. I love Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Boy, over this last year, brother, I've just, you know, God's driven me to the throne more and more. I've come into the presence of God more, I think. And you know what? I know people say, oh, it's been a bad year. And I don't know. Maybe from a heavenly perspective, it could have been for me one of the greatest years of my life, just because of what it has done to strengthen and build my relationship with the Lord. You know what, folks? Sometimes when we're going through it, it seems like it's the worst time. When we get a little perspective and a little distance, many of us may look back and say, you know what, one of the greatest years spiritually for me personally is when we had to go through this. God allowed this to come into my life and the life of our nation. So number one, it's sure been good to have a shepherd. Number two, it's good to have a shepherd when things are going well. It's good to have a shepherd when things are going well. Verse 2 and 3 kind of talks about that. In Psalms chapter 23, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, folks, that's goodness and calmness and grace. No mention of a storm. No mention of hunger. No mention of thirst. No mention of confusion. You know what? Sometimes God gives us those stretches in our life where, you know what, He just kind of says, I'm going to take care of you, extra special care of you. I'm going to give you some time where you just have a chance to, and here's the purpose of it. We find it right in the middle of verse number 3 of this stretch. Sometimes God has those times where He just allows us to restore our soul. He just kind of protects us. He just kind of puts a bubble around us. You know, I preached a message years ago called The Cycle of Growth, and I really believe that God takes us through a continual cycle over and over again that helps us to grow. And I think the purpose is that we go through the cycle and we end a little bit more mature than we went through, and then we go through it again and we go through it again. But you know what? A lot of times God does is He gives us these times where maybe spiritually we experience some kind of a high or a euphoria. I mean, the Bible's real and everything's exciting. I think about Jesus when He got baptized, you know, and I mean, the heavens opened and the Father proclaims His pleasure to His Son, and here's the coming out party for Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. It's kind of one of those mountaintop. And then, you know, this is what comes after that. If you look at the immediate thing that comes after that is that the Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and he has 40 days. He's 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, folks, we're given three of the instances that happened in those 40 days, but Mark says he was 40 days tempted of the devil. I think night and day for 40 days, the devil relentlessly attacked. And you know what? Here we are at that mountaintop, and then we go into that time of testing, you know. And then, you know what, it's tough, it's hard, and it's difficult. And you know what, but at the end of that story, it says that God sent angels to come and minister to him. Now, I think that what we do is we have that spiritual high, then we go through a real difficult time, a valley, and then God kind of puts us in that bubble for a while. And he says, okay, come on, I'm going to lay you down in some green pastures. What's he doing? He's just restoring us, giving us time to think about all that we went through. I think that's going to be 2021 for some of us, you know. Give us a perspective, Lord. You know what? See your grace. You know, see how you've taken care of us. See how you've watched over us. See how you got us through some difficult times. You know, I heard you mention two different folks here. Dear lady that lost her husband. Someone else, I believe that you said, lost their dad, you know. I buried my mom August of 2020, you know. So, you know, that was part of my valley that I had to go through, you know, that God took me through. 79 years old, loved the Lord, pastor's wife for 41 years, and I miss her every day. But I'm celebrating the passing of my dad this April. 10 years he's been gone, you know, and it was tough to lose dad. But man, I don't know, something about mom, brother. I didn't do real well with that, you know. That was tough. I don't know, something special about mom. A mom-son connection strong, you know. And then I got to thinking, maybe it's not the difference between mom and dad. Maybe it's because they're both gone. I feel like an orphan now. You know, I don't know. I haven't figured it all out. But I know this. Watch this. I didn't have to walk through that valley alone. And I don't know what y'all had to go through in the last. Everybody's story is a little different. But if you're a Christian, you didn't have to walk alone. And I can't predict the future. I don't know what I'm going to face. Every New Year's, I look at my congregation on the first Sunday. And I do this almost every year. I sit up there and just watch my congregation first Sunday. And I think, Lord, what are the families going to have to go through? I mean, I don't know. I can't predict it. I don't know it. You know, I wonder what this family's going to, wonder if this person, I wonder if a year from now, how many times will we have to have had a funeral, or you know, what tragedy could happen, what sickness, what diagnosis? I don't know. And I'm glad. Can I say that? I'm glad I don't know. I'd just soon rather God give me this thing one day at a time and the grace day by day to face whatever it is he asks. But I know this, in the good times, and then, of course, the last point is it sure is good to have a shepherd in the hard times too. So you know what, folks? He's there. You know what? I couldn't control the politics in the last year, but you know what? God is still my shepherd. I couldn't control the sickness and the panic and the fear, but God's still my shepherd, you know. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next year. Man, I've got people coming to me with doomsday scenarios, and I've got, you know, if I get one more email that tells me in the next 3 days this is going to happen, get ready, you know, and then 3 days later they're like, in the next 3 days, you know, I don't know, they're driving me crazy, okay? And you know what, there's times where I just have to shut all that off. Now, come on now. I think maybe some of us just need click, click, click all that off. And just say, you know what, I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next 3 days. But I can tell you this. The Lord is my shepherd today. And He'll be my shepherd tomorrow. And He'll be my shepherd the day after. And you know what I want to do? I just want to look to Him and say, Lord, You know the path. You know what I need better than I know what I need. And there's times, Lord, I need the green pastures and I need the still waters. But Lord, it's also necessary if I'm going to grow that I need to walk through those valleys. And God said, that's okay. I may take you through a valley, but I'll never send you alone through a valley. And no matter what God has for us to face in the next year, the next week, the next 24 hours, isn't it good to have a shepherd? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Thank You for being our shepherd. Lord, thank You for the day that You sought me out, lost, sinful, hopeless, without Christ, headed to a devil's hell. Thank You for working the circumstances of my life out so that I could hear the gospel. Thank You for that light of the glorious gospel shining through. Thank You for Your tender drawing. Holy Spirit, thank You for Your strong conviction. Jesus, thank You for providing the way. I pray, Lord, if You would please, dear God, just go before us and help us as we face another year. Lord, lead us and guide us. Lord, help us to stay close to our shepherd. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher, I'm going to turn it over to you.